Well, one of the things that popped into my head that might tie in with current culture is the television is flooded with advertisements to buy gold because of the difficult economic times. There's a whole bunch of companies out there that are pushing the idea that what extra cash you might have, you ought to put it in gold because it's more stable and so on and so forth. I'm not sure I buy all the arguments, but that's something that most people would have been aware of. And a lot of my friends' response is, I barely have enough money to get by. How in the world could I ever buy gold?
Mm-hmm. But if you could, and you'd put that in a question, have you seen the television advertisements that say, what is your response to that? Is that wise or not? Well, I'm not going to answer that question this morning, but I am going to tell you a story of, and you got a great introduction. I think I would give you an A on that.
No, all right. I'm going to put that down in my book.
No, it's a good. I mean, is it the right way to do it? There is no right or wrong. The question is, can you grab the attention of the people as you get into that text? And I think you've done a very good job with that. And you just did that off the top of your head. You really didn't think about it that much. But you were thinking in the process, what will grab people's attention? Okay. So I don't even need to give an illustration. What I need to do is to see if you can do as well in the next text. Okay.
Fair enough.
Okay. I went to an Old Testament text, and this is way back in the book of Judges, and it's the story of Samson. You know that story pretty well. And it's when he is awakened by the Philistines. He's with Delilah, and this is this sad thing. This is Judges chapter 16, verse 20. Then Delilah called, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. He awoke from his sleep and thought, I'll go out as before and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had left him. Okay? So it's an interesting thing, and if I'm playing with preaching a sermon on this, so I'll tell you where I am, and I won't push you on it, but I'm wanting to do a sermon on presuming on God. Does that make sense how that
yes.
fits into it?
Yes.
There's a certain sequence he's gone to, and I think he kind of wonders now, is it really my hair or is it me, you know? And so he's gotten closer and closer and closer, and nothing has happened. And so he's kind of in this place where, you know, maybe I'm the real secret to this and it's not God. And then she has him shaved, his head is shaved, and she wakes him and it says, I mean, if somebody wakes you up and you've never had your hair cut your whole life, what's the first thing you're going to recognize?
My hair is gone. What happened to my hair?
Yeah. Exactly. So that probably, but even so, he wakes up, he can't help but notice. And then he says, I will go out and shake myself as before. Which is a very sad thing, because he is presumed now that it's not going to make a difference. Then all of a sudden he realizes that he's been a fool and he's blinded, and then the end of his story is played out. So basically my thrust would be that presuming on God is a dangerous practice. And I think it's a relevant topic, because I think a lot of people do that. They presume on God. They take for granted that he is going to be there to bail them out or whatever. So presuming on God. Now, the question that we're playing with is, how would we get into that kind of a subject? And I haven't yet resolved that in my head. I have a whole bunch of these sermons that are percolating. Does that make sense? So I got the subject. I got the response, which is, you never presume on God. That's a dangerous thing. He's not a tame lion, you know. And so how do you not do that? Well, you have to, in my mind, where I am is to say, you have to say, these are the things that I'm kind of crossing lines. I'm sticking my toe over a line in these areas. And either I keep nudging to see how far I can go with this, or otherwise I say, this is not very smart. And everybody's got those areas in my mind they're playing. I can think in my own mind what it is in my life. And so I'm saying, you can be a Samson, and all of a sudden, you know, God says, I'm tired of all this. I'm not going to be there this time. You're gonna find out the hard way. And I just am not going to be in a position where you play games with me. So that's kind of where I am. Now the question is how you get into that in such a way that that your listeners are with you. And I see you're churning in your head. Are you? Mm-hmm. Where are you going?
Well, one of the things that's very important in this text is that the hair itself had no power.
Right.
The power of the hair, if we we can call it that. I speak as someone who has little hair. The power of the hair.
I would testify for our listeners that that was a fair statement.
That's very true. The power of the hair was the obedience.
Yes.
It was a symbol of the outward symbol of the obedience of mm-hmm. the heart, in that was the instruction that he had been given, and that was he was following that pathway. So in a sense, what you're saying that if you don't follow the rules, don't presume. So I can think of a bunch of examples. The guy or gal who never takes care of his or her car and just never does anything, even very, you know, often running on empty, goes out and turns the key and the car won't start. If you don't follow the rules, if you don't do the things you have to take care of, and you presume it's always going to work, there's a degree of foolishness in that presumption. So there's probably an example like that. The car one might not be as much of a grabber, but
you got an A earlier, but this is like a B minus.
Okay,
so you need to keep working on it, but you're coming. Okay, that's good. And I don't have the opening to it yet. And a lot of times sermons are like that. You say, okay, I know what the subject is. I got the response. I don't have the how to yet. I got the how long figured out. Subject doesn't come, but once you know the answer to those four questions, you know when you got the right open. And the way you would introduce it may be different than the way I would introduce it. But both cases, I don't think I'm going to get up and tell a joke.
Right.
Because that the
or give an announcement.
I'm not going to do that. But this is partly I wouldn't tell a joke on this one because the seriousness of the subject is such that I don't think the joke. I don't want to start with levity. I want to start with something, and I don't want to talk about my own personal area where I tend to be feeling convicted because I'm presuming on the Lord a little, because that's a little bit too close to me. I just don't feel good about that. But I want to get some, whether it's historic or whatever, where this has happened with somebody. Because Simpson seems like a long, long way back to people, and I want to see if I can update it. And there have to be those. I just haven't come up with it yet. But anyway, I got enough time, so that's not a problem. But I'm playing with it, and it's going to come. It will come. And it's the same thing. Once those key blocks of those four questions are lined up, then the rest of it's relatively easy to come by. So I'm going to leave that one hanging, okay? We don't know the answer to it. And my guess is that probably some guys who are listening to us right now are going to say, you know, that's a good text. That's a good thing. Presuming on God, not a good idea. Oh, man, if I preach that, it's going to talk to me in this area in my own life, you know, and so on. But that's part of what these things should be. They should be stimulating ideas. And then somewhere along the line, that person's going to say, ooh, I wish I'd been in that discussion because I got the perfect introduction for them.
Yeah, that's true. But and isn't it a fact, too, that any pastor who thinks he or she's arrived is making a fundamental mistake, because we're all on this pathway.
Yeah.
We're all relying on the Holy Spirit to lead us on a pathway. And the only way we're going to achieve that perfection is when we pass from this life to the next and are in the presence of Christ. So we all have areas in our lives we have to work on, and all the better the pastor who's willing to preach the sermon that's going to be convicted by it. To motivate him or her to do the right thing in his or her own life.
Yeah, that'll help that individual come up with the how-tos. Because say, you know, am I willing to do this? Is this going to work for me? And I can do it without being revealing in terms of my own life. Or otherwise, another thing, Dean, you can go back and say, I remember times in my life when I presumed on God. And I came to a certain point in my life where God said, you do that one more time. You know, I everybody's got those problems. There's sins of my tongue. You know, you'd say that one more time about that person and you're going to get it, because I don't want that done, you know. So mm-hmm. there are all kinds of these, and you just say, what's the best way to get into this? But introduction, it should be that your introduction is incredibly interesting and a person immediately says, oh, you know, they're looking at the bulletin or they're thinking, where am I going to go this week in terms of my shopping and so on? And all of a sudden, they are with you, and you have them. And they're saying, I heard a word from God today.
Introduction. What are we going to talk about next?
You want to come up with the idea? I didn't look at where we're headed next. I'll tell you what. Give me a half second, and I can tell you. We're going to talk about closing your message. That makes sense, doesn't it?
Opening, closing, it makes sense to me. We invite you to come back and join us. We're the SermonCoach.com podcast, and you can find resources to help pastors at SermonCoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com with Dr. David Maines. Come back and join us, won't you?